Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Religion has been kicked out of public school, or has it? We know for sure at least one religion has been kicked out, and that is Christianity. However, we see religions such as Islam being promoted in some schools as they teach the seven pillars of Islam and other Islamic teachings. But Islam is not the only religion being promoted in some schools. Maybe not promoted as openly, but it has direct ties to religion, which the courts say is a big no-no. This will be a two-part program, giving some of the background in the first program and getting into more details, concerns, and dangers with the second. My guest today is Brian Perkins, a small-town counselor from Northeast PA who cares about families and the public schools. Thanks, Brian, for being with us.
I'm a fan of our local schools. I'm glad to be here. I'm a fan of your work, too, in the AFA. But you've chosen a really troubling topic, so I'm excited about it. I'm glad to be here today. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, well, thank you for bringing this to my attention, because I didn't have any idea this was going on. Now, we do know that courts have been involved in cases actually in Pennsylvania schools, and that they banned religious instruction from those public schools. And I'm thinking of North Penn School District's Superbrain Yoga and the Dover Area School District's Intelligent Design case, which I'm very familiar with that case. So how is it that Eastern religious practices, how are they infiltrating the schools? How are they getting away with all this?
What's happening, if you look at the North Penn School District case, they used language that sounded like zero tolerance, like there should be no religious instruction, but they had a lot of openly religious elements that they were using. The language and the elements of their instruction were obvious to the casual person that they were just religious.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 2005, the Dover case, John E. Jones, the federal judge, he ruled to outlaw the teaching. He was outlawing a logic-based thought process, intelligent design, in the public schools because he said it could not uncouple itself from religion. And he came here to the local Penn State campus and was describing his court decision to a group of physics professors. And I was in the audience. I couldn't wait to hear I thought he'd use a lot of statistics talking about how many samples it took out of the fossil record in order to prove that there was randomness and evolution and that sort of thing, mm-hmm. but that had nothing to do with his thinking. He said, he cited the counter-majoritarian role of the courts and his fear that the majority was trying to, in his words, it was on his PowerPoint, he said that he was afraid they would try to re-Christianize America by challenging the teaching of evolution.
Mm.
So even introducing that thought process in the context of evolution, he thought was too religious.
Wow.
But what's happening now, there are activists. They even call themselves stealth Buddhists sometimes, sort of jokingly, but it's come to be called stealth Buddhism. They're trying to mandate the teaching of, it's a kind of a quasi-religious trance-based mm-hmm. thought process, as if they're not teaching religion in schools at all. So it's the thought process itself, which John E. Jones actually addressed, a type of thought process. He was talking about inductive logic, cause and effect logic, and now we've got one that's an emotion-based, where they take people into a trance, and they've sanitized all the controversial language out of the in this case, the mindfulness program to make it sound like it's not Eastern religion. So right now, people are unwarned, and they don't understand really what's happening.
Mm-hmm. So how is it that, I would assume that they'd have to present this to a school board, and you're saying that they sanitize the language so it doesn't have the religious, you know, overtones. So how are they presenting it as an asset to the school? You know, if the school uses this, it's going to be good for the students. How are they approaching that subject?
It's being marketed as if it has nothing but positive benefit, as if it allows students to focus better, as if it allows them to relax, it gets rid of anxiety. They have a long list of learning benefits and mood regulation benefits, and they don't publicize any of the known negative side effects of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so the schools, plus it's low cost to implement something like a teaching program like this. There's not a lot of equipment or a lot of difficult training they really have to go through. So it seems like a win-win for everyone. It seems like parents don't have to put their kids on medication if they can't behave. It seems like they can have a free lunch, basically.
Mm-hmm,
and it's simply not true.
Right. So the school's looking at, you know, supposedly the benefits to the students. So if there's a benefit to the students, and that means there's a benefit to the entire class because there's not the interruptions or such. And it's a benefit to the teacher because the teacher hopefully can concentrate more on teaching what he or she is supposed to be teaching. Plus the cost issue. I hadn't thought about that. So it's also may be a cost issue when the school board is considering this. Wow. So, you know, you're talking about trances and such. So what is this trance-based thought process?
I'll define that process that I'm referring to that mindfulness programs are using. I'm going to use the term pros religion, P-R-O-S, like the Greek word pros, which means literally towards something or towards someone. So pros religion would mean leading a person toward an emotion-driven epistemology, you would call it, which is an epistemology, meaning that's a way of perceiving what's universally true based on individual feelings.
Okay.
So the trance basis, it comes from mysticism. It's like there's various types of grooming, sometimes at the subconscious level that it uses. There's mysticism and psychotherapy involved, and then, of course, the religious aspects. The key method that mindfulness uses to trigger a pros religion in the child's thoughts is to refocus their thoughts, then slow them, then stop all their thoughts until the brain switches into an altered mind state. So mindfulness tools, like, for example, focused breathing, they seem innocuous. They seem like they're not very powerful, but they move the students into a meditative trance, similar to a light or deep hypnotic trance, which makes them more susceptible to the power of suggestion. So in that trance state, not to get too technical, but alpha brain waves dominate the brain function, and their reasoning falls away. You can pursue mindfulness at three different levels. I mean, the trance state happens only in the upper two levels. And all three levels can feel relaxing. So it gets confusing for an unwarned parent. You have to. So I'm using coining this term pros religion to explain it.
Right.
I can give examples. I mean, for example, at level one, if I spoke to you calmly with your reasoning fully intact, that would feel relaxing. If we took it up to level two and guided you to focus some of your thoughts like on a visualization or on your breathing, that would feel relaxing. Or take it up to level three, if I guided you on how to stop your thoughts altogether until you eventually experienced a feeling of higher consciousness, that can also feel relaxing. But if you consider there's the important difference in the three levels is your ability to use your thoughts before you draw some kind of objective conclusion.
Right. So basically, by the time you reach the third level, I'll use the term wiped your brain free of all thoughts. So in my thought, you're opening yourself to have that brain filled with thoughts that can be possibly spoken by the person who's helping you to reach those trance-like various levels. Is that kind of what?
Yes, that's okay. One aspect of it. If you take like transcendental meditation, the way they handle it, you don't totally stop all your thoughts. That's one of their claims to fame that they have like on their website, tm.org. They talk about how they don't totally stop the thoughts because that's considered negative in some people's minds. But they teach a tool to make it so the thoughts are like a cloud going by that has no meaning. You just engage it and let it go. So what you're losing is your reasoning, and then your emotions are elevated to a position of authority where you form emotion-based conclusions.
So the emotions are allowed to take over.
Yes, they take over spontaneously at those upper two levels.
Wow.
So that third level, when you're in that alpha mind state, you're engaging your subconscious and you're freeing yourself. The way the Buddhists like to, they talk about freeing yourself from your core self and you free yourself from your conscience.
Mm-hmm.
So a name
and this
like
is,
cross religion, you can see how right. complicated this is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, many parents, and we'll get into this more next program, but many parents think, wow, if someone can teach my kids to relax and not fly off the handle in a situation, then I'm all for that. I mean, I can see a parent with a child who has some idiosyncrasies or some troublesome reactions to situations. I can see a parent grabbing hold of this idea, having not done the research, and how dangerous that is.
It would be wonderful for a parent whose child has been acting out, who's not at the level of focus that some of the other students are in that particular class.
Uh-huh.
Every parent, no one wants to have their child go on medication
right.
for mood control. and to have their child stand out as a troublemaker, you know, that gets a momentum in the school. So if the school system would say that, yes, this is something that will help your child, and they start seeing good fruit, they start seeing good benefits
right.
from this, then, it would be considered a wonderful situation for parents.
Right, yeah, but and not realizing the downside of it because they're not being told that. So mindfulness, this is actually taking place in some schools here in Pennsylvania and across the country as far as that goes, not just a Pennsylvania issue. So it's actually taking place, and it's obviously connected to Buddhism, as some of the activists actually describe their activities as stealth Buddhism. So they admit it's religion, but how, you know, taking the whole Buddhist idea out of it, how is mindfulness religious, if that makes any sense?
Yes, it does. It's a complicated issue, and simplifying the name as pros-religion is a useful thing to do and necessary to do. What we're really talking about here, mysticism or trance states, they require a lot of technical discussion, and there's a lot of traditional descriptive words and names for those, for mysticism and for those trance states that have been hijacked or rebranded, so you can't really understand what's going on. Years ago, I received a book just because I subscribed to, I think it was U.S. News, they sent a free book out entitled Mindfulness, which introduced me to the topic. It was an author named Ellen Langer, and she was distinguishing between Western and Eastern mindfulness. Western mindfulness was more like, if you take the expression, you can't see the forest for the trees, well, it's just being more focused in your thoughts. You step back and re-engage your thoughts and realize that you're looking at a forest instead of just trees. Or the expression, you're standing so close to the wall, you can't see the color of the paint.
Right.
You know, those would be ways to describe what Western mindfulness used to do. And then Eastern mindfulness was considered these trance-based mind states. Well, that's all gone away. I gave a workshop down in Allentown a couple years ago, and I wasn't aware that this had become such an issue in some of the schools. And teachers were in the audience, and toward the end of the, I was talking about safe and unsafe meditation practices, and toward the end of one, I mentioned, well, mindfulness was okay. Some of them were discouraged by that because automatically that meant Eastern-type mindfulness.
Okay.
Our culture seems to equate the word, these days, seems to equate the word mindfulness with altered mind states.
So you're saying, at least years past, Western mindfulness was more like taking in the whole picture.
It was not religious. So now, if you consider why mindfulness is religious, it's because it uses those Eastern tools.
Yeah.
There's two factors to keep in mind. There's the mysticism, what's being used in schools, and then there's the Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
So the public schools are using mindfulness tools that actually teach mystical Buddhism. If you think of like a Jell-O-type dessert, with my apologies to the Jell-O people, but a Jell-O-type generic dessert, the gelatin itself is flavorless, and then you add the fruit flavoring and the sugar. And so the base gelatin would be your base religious belief system, in this case, would be a mixture of mysticism and psychotherapy, actually. These are actually powerful psychotherapeutic techniques they're using in the schools. And then the fruit flavoring would be the Buddhism.
Yeah.
So you could flavor the mysticism with other religious behaviors or language if you wanted to. All major religions except Protestant Christianity have had a mystical branch or element of their religions for centuries.
Right. Yeah, so actually it was probably the end of last year. I get the great courses. They're selling courses is what they're selling. And I flip through that like I do every time. I don't normally buy anything from them. But anyway, I came across this course that they were offering, Explore the Practices and Benefits of Meditation. That immediately got my attention because I connected that term, meditation, with Eastern religions. Mm-hmm. And they were, I'll read this, Practicing Mindfulness is an Introduction to Meditation, and it's Professor of Religious Studies and Director of the Asian Studies Program from Rhodes College. That's who wrote this book, who created this course. And that just jumped out at me. And again, it says Religious Studies and Director of the Asian Studies Program at Rhodes College. For those of our free guide book that they included, it's 206-page course synopsis, photos and illustrations, suggested readings, questions to consider, the glossary and bibliography. But I'm looking at the picture on the cover, and it's someone sitting in a, like you'd see someone sitting in yoga, you know, with their legs crossed, Indian style, such as that.
Yeah.
But that's the picture on the front of the book. Immediately, set up alarm bells for me when I saw that, and there was no way that I was going to ever purchase that course, even though they offered it for $35 rather than for $254. But still, how many Christians getting that, or how many anybody, as far as that goes, getting this great courses catalog, offering all these different courses, and they saw this, and, you know, they may be intrigued by the practices and benefits of meditation. Very concerning. As you're saying, there it's stealth the way that they're using it.
That brings up a great point. The alarm bells that you have faded away from much of our culture. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt that yoga has been mainstreamed. It's just about in every gymnasium, and people don't realize the brain effects of yoga positions, for example. Mm-hmm. That's off topic for mindfulness, really, although they are using those postures. But if you consider, like I said, all major religions except Protestant Christianity mm-hmm. had mystical elements for years that were familiar to them.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, in the past 20 years, even the churches, Protestant churches, that is, have started embracing mysticism too.
Mm-hmm.
So mysticism itself needs to be singled out and addressed in the parent's mind. The current school programs have icons like you're describing there, the openly Buddhist tools like mm-hmm. Tibetan singing bowls and Zenergy chimes, they would call them. They ring some type of musical instrument, it says in their textbook, for the Mind Up program. Mm. They ring that several times a day. And those Buddhist body positions,
yeah.
The language, the social doctrines. But they could strip all that out if it were possible, and still you would have cross-religious system being taught in our schools,
right.
Even if they could totally sanitize all the Buddhist ideas out of it.
So they're actually using some of the tools, the Buddhist tools, in the programs, in the school programs themselves.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And stripping away all those to where you're teaching like a non-sectarian mysticism,
right?
Well, it'd be like a universal religious belief system. I mean, the Muslims have their mystics.
Uh-huh.
Those would be, and we'll talk more about this probably tomorrow.
Yeah.
But the Muslims have their belief systems that are mystical. The Catholics do.
Mm-hmm.
They have different branches, but the Christians never did until recently. And so
right,
that has
yeah.
become something that's familiar in the churches to many Christians as well.
Yeah, and that is very scary, that churches are embracing some of this mysticism. This almost sounds like it might be an addiction where, you know, if they're in a situation, students are in a situation that they need to address or need to deal with, and could they use or fall back on the mysticism, the mindfulness that they're being taught? Could they fall back on that? Could it be used as, you know, I'm trying to describe it as an addiction, to where they would continually use it, or not continually, but on a regular basis, use this mindfulness, the mindfulness techniques that are being taught in schools?
That's how they intend for it to be used, is as something that you return to in order to achieve focus and relaxation. That's why I think much of the reason why it's so popular, these relaxation apps and with the tools in mindfulness. So as far as it being like an addiction, if you consider to understand what it's like when someone reaches a conclusion so strongly that they find it to be a religious belief, that they just believe it no matter what,
mm-hmm.
And you can't, it is helpful to think of it the way of an addicted person has denial. So if you find a person who, say, is in your family who's devoting the first fruits of their time and their energy and their money to an addiction, and they'll let all the other things that they care about slip away
mm-hmm.
Because for some reason that addiction controls them through their emotions, controls
yeah.
their decisions.
Right.
So even when everyone else around the addict can see the danger, the addict's emotional attachment is what psychology would call it. The attachment to the addiction will override all of their reasoning. So if you've ever tried to talk someone out of denial, saying, I think you have a problem with drugs or drinking
mm-hmm.
or whatever, it does not give way to facts or reasoning easily at all.
Right. Because
that's
they're totally
a good analogy.
Yeah. They're totally convinced that what they're doing is okay and that it's not hurting them or anyone around them.
They'll have a list of rationalizations in their mind. Well, if I'm not as bad as these fellows that I drink with,
mm-hmm.
I'm not drinking as much as them.
Yeah.
Or if I can still hold down my job, there's a long list that they'll keep coming up with that never ends.
Right.
That says that you can tell that their defenses have been disarmed.
Right.
They've been disarmed by the addiction. And when someone reaches a belief like a religious level, that's what we call it. When we believe something in our deepest value system, we think of it as a religious
mm-hmm.
level belief.
Wow.
So that's
wow.
a good comparison.
Like I can stop whenever I want. I mean, that kind of mindset.
Yeah, I'm in control. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Have you ever read Frank Peretti's books, This Present Darkness and Piercing the Darkness?
I've heard of This Present Darkness, but no, I have not read those.
He definitely talks about trances and such as that. So if you get a chance, read those books. Don't do it when you're by yourself or late at night, because it can be scary. But this is most interesting. So the next program, we're going to delve into how does one encounter prost religion, the dangers, and we must also ask ourselves who would promote altered mind states or prost religion. Parents need to do research to learn about this and yet another assault on our kids, and we'll provide some info on that too. So stay tuned for the part two of the program to get more information on mindfulness that's being taught in schools. And thanks, Brian, for being with us, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you. Thank you, Diane.
Okay. Take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.